This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Since there's nothing taking place in the rest of the world, Chris, it's the perfect day to get into the Jets and the Giants and the NFL and Dan Graziano at 10:30. Little observations following that. A lot to do for us in the world of sports. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. A lot for us to do in the world of sports. We definitely got to dive into Joe Douglas jumping on TMKS yesterday because I thought it got real spicy. And Don and Michael, I love those two guys. They asked some great questions. But Dave, I'm doing all right this morning. You know, I stayed up late just like everybody else with bated breath awaiting the results of the election last night. And, you know, the one thing I will say is no matter what side of the aisle you're partial to, you got to be proud of the way Americans showed up and showed out at the polls. I mean, historic turnout for voting. And the one thing I will say is our democracy requires that everybody engage it in order to create a more perfect union. And I'm proud of America in this time for being able to go to the polls and actually exercise their constitutional right to vote.
Yep. Whoever wins will have the most votes in the history of this country. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Chris. I'm all right. I got in big trouble this morning, but I'm battling through it.
Well, what did you do? It's only 9 o'clock. What have you done?
I snuck the kid some chocolate. I was supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be a good dad, you know, give him a little something because they ate all their breakfast. And then, of course, my daughter decided to just, the second she finished eating it, guess what dad gave us?
Oh, God.
She snitched on you.
She sold you out.
Right out. Immediately. The second she swallowed the last bite, the first thing out of her mouth was, guess what dad gave us?
This is good for you to know because you lost the battle, but you'll win the war. Because when she says to you, hey, Dad, can I stay up a little later? Can I do this? Can I have a piece of chocolate after dinner tonight? It's got to be no. Well, why? Because you can't be trusted.
You know that's not going to happen. I can't say no to her. I can't.
Yeah, she owns you.
She owns
you. She owns Milo, too, by the way. How's she responding to Rocco? How's that going?
She smothers him. I mean, she's just like way too overly aggressive with the baby.
Not literally.
No, she's like in his face, like, oh, he's so cute, like poking him in the face. I'm like, no, you can't. That's a real baby. You can't poke him in the face. But she loves him. I mean, she keeps telling me, I can't wait till I can grow a baby. I was like, you're 4 years old. She's like, Dad, well, who do you think I'm going to marry? I'm like, oh, my God almighty.
Yeah. Oh, just wait. Oh, boy. And I don't have the daughter. Just
don't worry, Rico. I'm ready to play the Uncle Mike routine whenever you're ready, man. I got you.
I said you can marry anyone you want as long as he pays for the wedding.
Let's see that happening. It'll be the chocolate story on a much bigger version when she looks at you in 25 years, like, Dad, would you pay for my wedding?
I know.
Like, yeah, of course.
Oh yeah. What do you want? You want a horse? A horse carriage? Oh yeah, absolutely. Whatever you want.
With a carriage? Yes. Absolutely. Rent all of Central Park? All right.
You want doves? Okay. Yeah. Doves. Absolutely. Yeah. We can release doves.
Of course. During the middle of the Olympics. All right. We can twist my arm. So guys, I mean, I thought we were going to get into a lot of Daniel Jones and the Giants, and then. Joe Douglas joins the K Show yesterday, and we open up the phone lines right now, 800-919-3776. He had a lot to say. And what I like about him, and I think the jury is still clearly out, what I like about him is you feel like at least he's giving you answers. He's not just hiding behind anything. He's at least listening to the question. And whether you like it or not, Chris, he's giving you answers.
Well, it's interesting that you saw it that way because I saw it the opposite. He was doing a lot of talking, but I didn't think he was saying anything. I mean, the fact that, you know, he wants to accept a lot of the blame and it's okay for Sam Darnold to take blame, but he wouldn't give Don a straight answer as to when it's okay to blame the head coach. I got a problem with that, man.
Well, he's never going to blame the head coach.
Well, I understand that, but everybody in the organization has taken blame except for the head coach, and they're 0-8. And so to me, that's one of the things that's a little weird with this situation. When you can't call it what it is, it's frustrating to the fan base and it's frustrating to people in the media. I mean, Don and Michael tried to ask it several different ways, and again, he would sidestep the question. So I understand that we want to give Joe Douglas credit for being able to face the media and take questions at the trade deadline. That's all cool. But at some point, you got to say, you know what? Adam Gase needs to be a lot better at his job. I don't have the authority to hire or fire him, but he absolutely has to do better at his job, just like everybody else in the organization. But the fact that no one within the Jets is willing to come out and openly criticize Adam Gase, I got an issue with that.
Yeah, but the only one that can openly criticize Adam Gase is going to be the owner.
Is the owner, yeah.
I mean, that's the fundamental flaw with this organization.
And now, there it is, Rick. And there it is. And there it is. It's the structure of the organization that's the problem. This thing where the general manager and the head coach is on the same level, it's not working out for the Jets. Like, it's okay if you have an unconventional structure and you're winning football games. But when you're not winning, this whole outside-of-the-box thinking, you're going to get criticized for it. So until the Jets can show that they're competent and they can put a competitive team that's on the field, then I think it's fair to criticize everything that they're doing, including the people that are doing those jobs, but the actual structure of the organization as well.
Yeah, especially when the guy that's making decisions is a novice. Like, this is, yeah, he this don't is know what Christopher
Chris Johnson,
Johnson
don't know what he's doing.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
I mean, and listen, a thruple is fine if everyone's happy inside the thruple, but for the most part, those things don't work out. And I expected Joe Douglas to say exactly what he said yesterday on the K Show. I mean, it does him no good to say anything about the quarterback. Right now, you don't have the first overall pick.
Right.
You're only 8 games through. So, of course, Sam Darnold is the quarterback for the future. Who knows what that is? Is that 8 games? If they have the first overall pick, I mean, you're going to take Trevor
There's
Lawrence.
There's no way that they're not taking Trevor Lawrence if they have the first overall pick. There's
and
no
then
way.
I think there's no way. And then I think the other thing, too, is he's not the one. He doesn't have the power to make the decision. We asked Sal Powell that. Anyone you talk to, it's going to be ownership that decides whether or not Adam Gase gets fired because of how the organization is structured. So, I mean, he kind of hinted at the fact that, you know, everyone is to blame. He didn't point out the head coach. He took a lot of the blame himself because he can afford to do that because he signed a 6-year deal. And the fact that he threw in hope, I hope Adam is a part of us fixing this thing. But I think the other thing, too, is, I mean, he, because of his relationship with Adam Gase, you know what I mean? Knowing that he doesn't have the power to fire him anyway,
right?
It would have done him no good to go on there and be critical of
the
coach.
Well, I think, Chris, well, he doesn't have to go out there. Is all of a sudden you look at it and now the owner's angry at you. Right, it's not his decision ultimately.
Yep.
It's the owner who's going to make that call. So if you come out and you say, "Yeah, I don't like what he's done, and I'm bothered by this, and I'm bothered by that," now all of a sudden you're taking a shot at the ownership of this organization, where that's the last feather you want to ruffle if you're Joe Douglas.
No, you guys are going way too far the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm not saying that he's got to take it there. That's not how he has to answer the question. You can say, "Yeah, Adam Gase needs to do a better job, just like everybody else in the organization needs to do a better job," because we're halfway through the season and we don't have a win. There's nothing wrong with saying that. That is the obvious. The owner can't get mad at you for stating the obvious. That's the truth. In this business, you're judged by your wins and losses. All I'm saying is this. If everybody else in the organization is taking blame, and then Adam Gase is saying, well, it's the execution, it's not necessarily the play calling, or it's this, or, you know, we've got guys out with injuries, we don't have a lot of depth at these positions, that's pointing fingers at everybody else. When is Adam Gase going to point the thumb? When is anybody else going to say, yeah, you know what? Everybody's got to be better, including Adam Gase. The next time we hear that will be the first time. And that's the part that I'm sick of. Because this team is 7-17 with Adam Gase as the head coach. It's just not good enough.
And it's getting worse.
And he came in a situation where people had some serious questions as to why he got the job coming off of his 3-year tenure in Miami. So, I can respect the fact that Joe Douglas faced the firing squad, and he tried to answer tough questions. But in that interview that he did with TMKS and what he did with the NFL media, he didn't say anything of substance. Now, the one thing that I will point to, and he says, you know what? He's absolutely right about that, is the Jets got a lot of draft capital in the next couple of years. They got 18 picks in the next 2 drafts and combined 9 in the top 3 rounds. So you got some serious ammunition to infuse this roster with talent. And the Jets have to be in the talent development business. But the one thing that I will point to, if you're saying that's going to be your approach for your future, then Adam Gase clearly is not going to be your head coach going into 2021 and beyond. Because when has Adam Gase ever developed young talent?
Unless he came out yesterday and said Adam Gase will unequivocally be the head coach of the team next year moving forward. Is there anything he could have said that would make you believe that Adam Gase is going to be back? He gave him as much of a vote of support as he could have, and I heard Rich Cimini on Carlin for a few minutes last night, and he said there's no way that Adam Gase is going to be back with this team next season.
Yeah, Adam Gase is not going to be back. He's gone. I mean, he's absolutely gone. But that's, I guess that's in part my problem, man. Don't patronize me. Or don't act like I don't understand what's going on and the dynamics that are at play here. Like, you saying that Adam is a part of the solution, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think that's being optimistic. Adam clearly hasn't been part of the solution this season.
Yeah, but he's not being truthful. I mean, you're taking him for what he's saying. He said, I hope Adam can be part of the solution. That's his
Adam, but that's the part I got a problem with, though, Rick. He's not being truthful. That's the part I got a problem with. You don't have to come out and say those things. You don't. You don't have to give Gase a vote of confidence. You don't have to say he's going to be fired at the end of the year. You don't have to say either one of those things.
Well, he's washing his hands of the decision is what he's doing. It was Adam Gase that drove down to South Philly to help to get Joe Douglas to take this job. That's part of the reason why Adam Gase hasn't been fired yet.
And maybe that's a part of the reason why we continue to see a non-competitive team on the field, because no one is willing to hold the head coach accountable. Maybe that's a part of the problem too.
Well, he
as much as personnel, as much as injuries, as much as all the, you know, the lack of weapons, whatever you want to point to, maybe the culture and the lack of accountability at the top of the organization, maybe that's a part of the problem too.
What do you mean maybe? That is the problem. I mean, he's Christopher Johnson's football guy. He gave him the keys to the franchise. So unless Adam Gase is going to criticize himself, it does Joe Douglas no good to criticize Adam Gase. Zero.
And okay.
That's
fair. You're entitled to your opinion about that. All I'm saying is I don't like it when you're doing an interview and you're trying to sell me on that, because that's BS. I don't like it. Don't hit me with that garbage.
You may not like it, but that's what all these guys do. I mean, how many guys stand in front of a microphone and tell you exactly what's going on and the truth all the time? No one does that.
No one does.
I will say this. I was around a general manager in Baltimore that had no problem giving you the state of affairs with the organization. He's a Hall of Fame tight end. He should be a Hall of Fame executive. I mean, Ozzie Newsome had no problem shooting everybody straight, including the media. There was no question about where people stood in the Ravens organization. But you also had a clear chain of command within that organization.
Well, you just answered your question.
There was a hierarchical structure that had been proven successful. And they've done it like that for decades. All I'm saying is, if you're Joe Douglas, that's where you come from. So you don't have to BS everybody. That's not a requisite in order to have a functional organization.
When working for the Jets, it is. Clearly, when working for the Jets, it is. Ozzie Newsome was the football guy. He made the final decision on football-related issues. Joe Douglas doesn't. If Ozzie Newsome wanted to fire John Harbaugh, he could have fired John Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No Joe question. Douglas can't do that. So what's he going to do, say something on a radio show to piss off the owner? No, he's not going to do that. Does him no good to do that. He said exactly what he had to say.
Yeah, he walked a tightrope.
Doesn't make it right, but that's what he had to say.
He walked a tightrope. Let's take a listen to what he had to say. Here's Joe Douglas. First cut, we'll hear. We'll listen to a bunch of them from the K Show yesterday. It was a really good interview, by the way. Sticks up for the head coach. Sticks up for Adam Gase.
I think we just haven't been able, whether it's continuity, whether it's only having our offensive line together for three games, whether it's having almost a different wide receiver group every week, the time we miss with Sam. I think there's a lot of reasons for us being where we are right now, and I don't think it all falls on one person.
So there you have the first defense of Adam Gase on the show, which it sounds weird, it sounds strange, but the thing is, they're so disjointed in the hierarchy within this organization that you probably think he probably doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and he's just going to cover his own behind right now.
Well, I can tell you what he did do, and what Adam Gase continually does do is just pretty much tell the locker room that they all stink. The players in the locker room aren't good.
Well, that's great.
But that's what he's saying. We haven't surrounded Sam with enough talent. This team stinks.
Well, whose fault is that, though?
Well, it's his fault. He took accountability for that. I mean, he said as much,
which I like. Which
but he
should've.
Can say that. But he can say that because he's got he has the security of a 6-year contract. This will be, once Adam Gase gets fired, he will never be a head coach in the NFL again.
Ever.
This is it.
You'd be hard pressed to see him as a coordinator again, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be a part of any coaching staff after this.
So he starts.
We could be watching the worst team in the history of football, guys.
No, we are. I mean, what do you mean we could be? It's only going to get worse.
That for a second. This game's been around for 100 years. We've seen teams that can't get out of their own way. The Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is going to be the worst we've ever seen? That's an indictment on the entire organization.
Explain to me how it gets better.
This year, I don't think it does.
No, it's not going to get better, and especially when the guys talk. They listen. You hear your GM pretty much say that there's no talent on this team. You want to play hard for that? No. The young guys will play hard because they have to. But this team will be completely – with all the expiring contracts and everything else, this team is going to look completely different next year. And that's another reason why that's another reason why Sam should want to be traded. He should want to get out of here. Because you're still going to have a talent deficiency next year. Like, the timelines aren't going to match up. Like, he'll be going into year four with a new coach, a new system, and still not enough talent around him. Like, he should want out. You're going to learn a new system, learn it on a good team. Don't waste your time. He's just wasting years here now. Like, he needs a change of scenery. And if I was advising him right now, I would be in no rush to be playing in these games with a screwed up throwing shoulder that's only going to get worse. Like, don't start jeopardizing your long-term health and your career because you want to show people how tough you are. We all know how tough you are. They're ruining him right now. I feel bad for the kid. It's sad. It really is.
It is sad. Because we're at the point now we don't even know what he is.
No, we don't. And I mean, clearly he you name the different reasons. I mean, lack of talent, continuity, the offensive line still stinks. I mean, he's had injuries and everything else. New system. Head coach is bad. Game plan is bad.
It's all bad.
Name it. And now what can you say
positively? Really, if I asked you right now, what can you say positively? What would you say? Mekhi Becton looks like he's going to be good. Darnold is a tough kid.
Quinnen Williams has been better.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
Nope. No, there's not much. There's not that much to be happy about. Which is exactly why at the end of the season, because there really is nothing. I mean, there's a couple. Denzel Mims has been good in the first halves. So you got three young players. If things go back to normal and you're selling season tickets and people are going to show up, you can't sell Adam Gase.
Could you imagine coming if back there were fans in the seats right now? What would happen at a Jets game?
Oh, it would be.
I mean, it would be like nothing you've ever seen.
They probably would have had to fire him. If that was the case.
They're actually benefiting from a pandemic.
Well,
he is. As awful as that sounds.
Well, he is. They're not. He is. No one inside that locker room is benefiting right now.
No, but the head coach is.
The head coach is because he's still
he would
job,
not be here.
But that's miserable. Like, showing up, like, can't the only play for a good team? Showing up to work when your team is that bad is the most, like, I don't care if it's professional sports, it's miserable.
But you've never done this.
Oh, we had some bad teams, bro.
Rick, were you ever considered the worst team in the history of hockey?
Not in the history of hockey, but we were. Right. I mean, there was a time when, we're close to it. By almost Thanksgiving, a little past Thanksgiving, we had no chance to make the playoffs. Like, the season was over. It was like,
it's like if we picked up the paper the next day every day and it was like, 7-1 Rangers, 9-1 Red Wings.
I'm sure you could find articles like that.
Come on, you've had it bad, and I'm not denying that. But I don't know that you ever had it this bad,
dude. Look at how many head coaches. I went through. Look at how many goalie coaches I went through. The consistent, we fired Peter Laviolette. I mean, go look at it. The amount of turnover.
He is pretty good.
We were in the midst of actually having a good season. One of our glue guys, Jason Weimer, one of our good guys, like, we kept the team together. I mean, he wasn't an overly skilled player, but he was one of those heart and soul guys, right? He's walking around singing MICKEY. Because that's pretty much what it was. Traded him. Guess what happened that season? Right down the toilet.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Right down the toilet. So, I mean, I've been in a situation like this, and it's not fun. It's awful. Yeah, it's great being a professional athlete. You get paid a lot of money, but showing up to work every day with this is the worst.
So, Rico, how do franchises like that find their way to the other side of it and become what the Islanders are now?
Leadership. Leadership is that they took, because even when it was, when they hired Dougie and Snowy was still the GM, you still had ownership sticking their hand, like having fat hands. Like, they wanted to be involved. And then they finally came to the realization that enough is enough. This isn't working.
So the owner came to the realization that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, Malcolm was like, no, enough is enough. Lou's available. Okay, we want Lou. Lou took over everything. Canty, it got... So their practice facility is one of the nicest practice facilities now, which is completely different than when I was. We had a trailer in the back, was our gym. It was a trailer. It was unbelievable.
A professional sports team. You had a double wide trailer as your workout room.
Yeah, that's what we had. You had to walk outside to a trailer to go work out in the gym. It was an embarrassment. So they have this unbelievable facility now. They have the cryo, like, everything. It's gorgeous. They have a chef. They hire Lou, and they had just finished it, and they moved all operations to Eisenhower. They hired Lou. Lou walks in. No, this ain't right. He tore it all out. Just got done with it. He tore it all out.
I love that.
This isn't what we're doing.
But you know what? Everyone listens to him, and that's
exactly
the great
right
thing.
And they're scared of him because they know he has all the power. They know he's the one that makes the decisions.
But like, I guess that's my issue with Joe Douglas and him doing what he did yesterday with the interviews on TMKS and with the NFL media. Like, this is your one shot to be a general manager. If you're a GM, you usually don't get a second crack at it, right? Head coaches get recycled all the time.
Yes.
Not general managers. So if you're Joe Douglas and you have an idea of what it takes being in Baltimore, being in Philadelphia, like, at some point, wouldn't you push back on Chris Johnson, even though you know that's technically your boss? You do have the security of a 6-year contract that you're 2 years into now. Wouldn't you push back on him and say, listen, we need to do things a certain way. We need to change how we're doing business. To me, that would, I don't know, man. Anytime you talk to the media, you have an opportunity to send messages to the fan base, to your guys in the locker room, but also to your owner. I just feel like Joe Douglas, when he had that opportunity yesterday, he didn't take advantage of it because he didn't really say anything of substance. And I know it's a fine line and you have to be very careful. I get all of those different things. But clearly what they're doing isn't working. So coming out and saying that there needs to be more accountability within the organization, everybody needs to do their job better, I don't understand the downside of coming out and saying that.
Because I think how he feels about it is Adam Gase week by week is just digging his own grave. And
sure,
there's no reason for him to say anything because the results will be
there. There's no reason for him to throw dirt on him while
exactly
he's doing
right.
it. I got
now
you.
I hear what you're saying.
He's Adam Gase dead.
He's Adam Gase being fired. Like, he's one move away from being Chris Johnson's guy.
And I think he hopes now
he becomes the football guy.
And I get what you're saying, Rico, but you just said 5 minutes ago that the players probably feel away because the general manager went on TMKS and said, we don't have a lot of depth. We don't have a lot of talent. We missed on some guys. Maybe we miscalculated Robbie Anderson's market. And, we went after Breshad Perriman, knowing that he had some injury issues, but we felt good about it, and he hadn't really been able to stay healthy. But we're excited about getting him on the field for the second half of the season. Like, I just – all of the things that he said, it's like he's pointing fingers at the players. The guys that are actually out there on the field, and he's saying that there's no one person's fault. But, I mean, the one person that's at the center of this that nobody is actually pointing a finger at is Adam Gase.
Yeah, but what's the difference between
Adam Gase
and the
players? And to me, that should be where it starts.
You're right, but what's the difference between Adam Gase and the players? Joe Douglas,
the players are going to be around.
Joe Douglas can decide who's here and who's not. Joe Douglas currently can't decide whether or not Adam Gase is fired.
And that's fair, Rico, but Joe Douglas can't get rid of everybody on the team. But if you're in that Jets, locker room, you're going to feel a way about your GM doing that. That's
and
all I'm saying, man.
No, you're right. Listen, I don't disagree with you, but I mean, I'm just the reality of the situation is the biggest problem with the situation.
Yeah.
It's how it's structured.
It's structured. And you said it. And you said it when they made the Joe Douglas hire. You were wondering whether or not it would change. And the fact that it didn't, that made you pessimistic about the Jets trying to turn some corner and become competitive, even with Sam Darnold as your young franchise quarterback.
But don't you have to have the same concerns moving forward? I mean, God forbid, what happens? Even if it's Eric Bieniemy, whoever it is.
But Joe Douglas will be at the heart of this coaching search, though. Because remember
I hope.
Yeah, but listen, Mike Maccagnan was helping Chris Johnson out with the coaching search until Peyton Manning gave Chris Johnson a phone call. All I'm saying is this, right now, it's clear that Chris Johnson doesn't know football. So he's going to have to lean on somebody in the building. That somebody is going to be Joe Douglas. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you feel better about it because that's how a coaching search should go.
I just hope that
everything
put the hierarchy
should be filtered through the general manager.
I hope that this new coach has to answer to Joe Douglas. If it's still a workaround, then he can go right to the owner and bypass the GM.
I don't like that either. And I do believe that there needs to be a clear chain of command. I've said that I don't know how many times on this show. Like, the head coach needs to report to the general manager. Or if you want to flip it and have the head coach at the top and the GM report to him, that's fine. But this whole thing where the GM and the head coach are at the same level and they're both reporting to the owner, it just sets itself up for CYA. It doesn't set itself up for the head coach and the GM to be working hand-in-hand to create synergy at the top of the organization. What it sets itself up for is Game of Thrones, and that's what we've seen from the New York Jets for the better part of this decade. The GM and the head coach very rarely, if ever, are on the same cycle. So as always, a general manager that inherits a head coach or the opposite, and it just doesn't seem like they work together toward creating the outcome that everybody's looking for. And so that's the biggest issue I have with the Jets. And it's clear that Chris Johnson and Woody Johnson, depending on how things go, are going to have to fix that. And until they do, it's going to be hard for the Jets to have any type of sustained success.
Yeah, I mean, it creates too much change. And right now, that's the last thing that this Jets franchise needs. They need some continuity and some stability.
Yeah, it's broken.
Especially if you're going to draft a quarterback with the first overall pick.
Which you have to imagine they're going to.
Well, no, they don't have the first overall pick yet.
Well, not yet.
So, I mean, as soon as that happens, and it goes back to what I said before, though. I mean, if there was any thought that Todd Bowles wasn't going to be around for the next couple of years, the year you're drafting a quarterback, then you should have made a change then to give Sam Darnold the best opportunity to have the stability he needs. And they didn't do that. They screwed that up.
But look at what they did. I mean, they had a – you talk about screwing that up, and they did, but they screwed so many things up. Think about this. They let a GM run free agency and a draft and fired him right after that.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't even happen. Even the worst teams in sports, that doesn't happen with.
Oh, the Knicks did it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, find one. It's the Knicks. But that's how, I mean, I'll never get over that, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, how could you get over it? I mean, it's completely set you back. You just burned 2 years is what you did.
But how could you do
that? You're back to ground zero. You burned 3 years, and now, I mean, Joe Douglas is, I mean, this isn't a retooling. He demoed this thing.
No, they have to, from the ground up, everything. Coaching staff, players, depth. Through the draft, free agency, everything has to change.
Which is another reason, and you can say what you want. I mean, you can be upset that Sam's not going to be the quarterback or whatever, but it's in his best interest to move on. It is. He doesn't want to be. It does him no good to be in his fourth year with a new system with a team.
Another head coach? Ugh.
Well, I mean, another head coach, but you're still in the infancy stages of rebuilding. Like, talent's going to be an issue again next year.
And then you're going to have to pay him.
Well, no, because you're not going to pick up his fifth-year option.
Well, okay, so then what's the point?
Exactly right. So he's just wasting years of his career. That's what he's doing.
Let him move on to a more functional organization. 800-919-3776. A lot of calls, a lot more Joe Douglas, a lot of conversation. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCR up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Lot to do. Busy, busy Wednesday, of which Andy from Merrick asks what kind of questions today, Rick?
Today is a hump day hockey.
That is correct. A hump day situation. Hockey edition of Andy from Merrick.
See, this is how I feel like we could take you to Vegas, is that you just have Canty and I, like, this is our ringtone, so when you're just doing too much, like, this song just plays on your phone, like, yep, that's it. Time.
Listen, I think if you, and you guys, I'm not putting words in your mouth, I believe this was said, that you said you would fund my trip to Vegas?
Yes.
Yes,
I think that,
we would
I think
do
that's
that.
A lot easier to deal with.
Well, no, this is what we're willing to do for you. It's more, will Sherry allow it? I know you want to do it. I don't know
if she would.
I feel like funding Dave in Vegas is
Dave in the situation is Joe Douglas, and Sherry is Christopher Johnson. So Dave will say he wants to do it, but we all know it's not really his decision to make.
Well, that's true. Yeah, nothing is my decision. Listen, I got in huge trouble the other night when she walked into the room and saw Alex awake at 11 o'clock during the Giants game. I thought she was going to contact an attorney. I was terrified at that moment. She's like, you know, he has school in the morning and he's up at 11. I was like, well, the game's almost over. There's 6 minutes left. 6 minutes left takes half an hour. And when he can't get out of bed, whose fault is this going to be? And he turns to me and goes, Dad, I better go to bed. Like, he gets it.
Well, he understands.
Yeah.
But there's nothing scarier than when mom gets angry.
She was furious.
Like when Cass goes crazy, Kathy, it's like the kids realize the second they see that
she's in
that,
control.
Oh yeah.
Like she it's thought around the house that I'm in control, and it's probably thought around the house that you're in control. But when it comes to the end of the day, and she wants something, that's going to happen.
No, the kids, well, you ask the kids in the house, like, who's the boss? They all say mom. which should hurt my feelings, but it doesn't.
So they feel like they can get over on you.
Well, they can get over anything. I don't know the dynamic, but knowing my dynamic, they can get over anything on you.
Yeah, I'm the sucker in the house. And I know it. I accept it. That's fine.
Like, I'm not exaggerating. If Alex would have said to me last night, can I stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning till after one of the candidates speak to the country, I would have said, you know, it's once every 4 years. Like, I would have rationalized it. Sherry would have been like, no, you have to go to bed. You're 10. I'm the worst.
Yeah, but it's a Giants game for you. I mean, that's more important than him going to school in the morning.
I thought so.
And also, you're doing him a solid, so you expect that he's going to pick you up in that situation and then wake up, be ready to go, and not make an issue out of it.
But I told you the one time weeks ago where he did not.
I know. He let you down.
And that does not play to my favor. Now, crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. All right, we talked Jets, and guess who's on the line? Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, boys. Hey, Dave, just a little advice. You guys are too young but to know this, but you got to give your son or your daughter the little transistor radio with the headpiece so they can listen to the game under the pillow while mom doesn't know that they're listening to the game after they were told to go to sleep. That's the way around it. But getting about Joe Douglas, listen, you know, Rick, I totally agree with everything Rick said. Chris, I understand the point, you know, how you're feeling about it. Mm. But he wasn't going to throw Chris Johnson under the bus because of the structure. I mean, how many calls did you take from me that I've been complaining about this structure? And, you know, listen, hopefully they're going to get it right. Like I've told you many times, when Woody, I'm sure he's still heavily involved, whether he comes back or he doesn't come back from London, when they did make this decision, they got to look in the mirror. I think it's since McCagnan and Bowles in 15 when they set this up this way. It hasn't worked. I mean, anybody that's running a business, you have to make changes, and hopefully they're going to do that. And as for Gase, I mean, I know there's people out there saying, well, he's not going in. He is not coming back. He's lucky if he even gets a quarterback's coach or a wide receiver's coach job next year. So, you know, they're going to move on from that. And, you know, with the state of the organization, like you said, they got to start from the bottom. There's nothing there except Becton and Quinn Williams, and maybe I'm leaving out one or two guys. But in 95, when the Carolina Panthers were an expansion team, they started off 0-5. Oh, and by the way, their first franchise victory ever was against the Jets. But they finished 7-9 as a franchise team. Okay, the Giants, they're playing competitive football. They're 1-7. They look like a 6-2 playoff team right now compared to the way the Jets are.
You can't compare anybody to the Jets, Ira. You really can't. No. I mean, Jacksonville, Cleveland. I mean, you name them. There's no one. It's not comparable.
No, and every week, like they got caught with their pants down on a special team, every week there's another thing you say, oh, my God, how could that happen? But you know what? I just put this year aside, get it over with already, and let Douglas run the organization. And you know what? If they don't feel competent enough where he can make all the decisions, well, then they got bigger problems than they think they have right now. So give the keys to Douglas, let him do what he needs to do. But I don't think that's going to happen until sometime in January.
Well, Ira, I guess that's a part of my frustration with everything. And it's not like I expected Joe Douglas to have to break news by identifying the problems that the Jets have. Everybody knows there's a talent issue. We know there's a culture issue. And there's a coaching issue. Okay, those are three problems that everybody knows. And it's not that Joe Douglas has to come out and say that to inform everybody of the problems. But what it does is it creates some level of accountability throughout the organization. And until you have that, you can't fix the problems. Until you name them, you can't fix them. And that's the problem. It's not just enough for the fan base to say it. It's not enough for us to say it on the platform that we have. It's up to the people that are within the building, within the organization, to come out and say it. And if it ain't going to be Joe Douglas, then who's it going to be?
I think it will be Joe Douglas. I just don't think the timing is right for him to say that now.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. But if that's the case, then just, I don't know, man.
You wanted more. I understand that you did.
I would prefer him not say anything if that was the case. Like, just don't, because the fact that he came out and he sidestepped the question when they asked him about Gase, to me, that's, I mean, I would feel a way about that if I was one of the guys in the locker room, because he has no problem talking about me, but then he has an issue with not calling out the coach. I mean, if everybody's got a hand in it, that includes Adam Gase. And to date, nobody within the organization has said anything about Adam Gase, including the players or the GM or the owner. Don't y'all think that's weird?
Very. But here's my question for you, Chris. Do you need that to happen now, or do at the end of, by the end of the season you need the appropriate steps to be taken?
Well, I guess my whole point is this, Dave. I've always said that I'm not a proponent of lighting the second half of the season on fire and just throwing it away. Mm-hmm. I still think there's something to be gained out of this. You're still trying to develop young players. And in order for that to happen, your team has to look a hell of a lot more competitive. How are you going to do that if you're not holding the head coach accountable to some degree? Like, something has to happen. Something has to change. If you're a guy in that locker room, what hope do you have for the next 8 games? Like, that's the part of this that I don't think fans are understanding. You can't give away opportunities to develop players. You can't do it. The most valuable thing you have is game reps. You can't say, well, we got 18 picks in the next 2 years, and it could be more depending on what happens with Sam. Yeah, that's true. But at some point, you're going to have to develop players. And how are you going to develop those guys? By putting them out there on the field and letting them play. So if you know it's all about player development, why doesn't that start now? Why do we have to wait until you're 0-16? That's stupid.
It's a fair point. Let's go to Wilton in Piscataway. Wilton, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Wilton.
He's wilting under the pressure here. What's up?
He really is. He's completely falling apart.
Yes.
Nobody gets happier with themselves when they make a funny joke than you, by the way.
Yes.
You're your own best audience. Now I'm told that Wilton is not Wilton. Wilton, you're on 98.7. Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, guys. Hope everybody's good. I was listening to the Joe Douglas interview yesterday, and I'll take one positive side of it when he said that what he wants to do is build through the draft, stockpile picks, and eventually have enough room to sign each player and, you know, keep the players that they draft. That's the one, I think, the only positive thing that I heard about the interview. The rest of it, endorsing Gase, it just blows my mind. What I want to see at this point, well, basically at this point, it just adds to the dysfunction that this franchise has been going through for years. And what I want to see is I don't even care having the number one pick. Get rid of Gase, hit the reset button, and take it from there. Because it's total dysfunction, and it seems like it's not going to stop.
Well, I mean, what did you expect to be positive coming out of that interview? I mean, the team is 0-8, and they may be the worst team in the history of the NFL. There was nothing positive to come out of that. I mean, the worst thing that came out of yesterday's interview was the fact that we still all understand that the biggest problem with the New York Jets is how the hierarchy is structured. The fact that Joe Douglas doesn't have the power to fire the head coach is a humongous problem.
Correct.
That's a huge problem.
It's bad.
It's the biggest problem.
And that has to be remedied. Thanks for the call, Wilton. That has to be remedied with the next head coach, GM.
Dave, that's how coaches in the NHL, and I only go back to the NHL because I've experienced in the NHL, that's how coaches never get jobs ever again in the NHL. Is because they try to sidestep the GM and go straight to the owner. And guess what that GM does? Oh, they fire that head coach, and then all the GMs talk, and that coach never coaches again. but because the Jets are structured the way they're structured, they're on equal playing fields. So the owner can go right by Joe Douglas and go talk to the Adam Gase can go right by Joe Douglas and talk to the owner and vice versa.
Which is awesome.
And he was there first. So I mean Adam Gase is really the guy in charge. Which is crazy to even think about.
It is crazy. Now, Joe Douglas did answer the question on the K-Show yesterday, and let's take a listen to that one. Where did you go wrong in building this entire roster from scratch?
Taking the job.
There's a lot of things, and I don't think there's one single thing that I think it's a accumulation of a lot of things, and there's a lot we have to do better. It's everything. I'm trying to focus on what I could have done better in me, and what did we do in the off season? What didn't we do in the off season? More like it, in terms of surrounding our quarterback with weapons. Obviously, we haven't been able to have continuity on our offense. And it's not an excuse for the three starting wideouts that we had envisioned for the year. They haven't been able to get on the field together once. We've only had our starting five offensive linemen on the field together for three games. And so, and then Sam's missed time. So it's been a struggle for continuity. I put the blame on myself for not having the right depth in here.
Listen, I think that Adam Gase deserves a ton of the blame, and I think he's been really, really bad. But I don't think Joe Douglas has done a great job so far in his time with the Jets. I really don't.
No, he leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, him coming clean about the whole Robbie Anderson thing, I thought that was a positive. A GM that's willing to accept some blame for a miscalculation. You're rarely
and
when
I started the show
that.
And I said that he spoke honestly, Chris, that's kind of what I was
and that was fair. And then he was asked about the Jamal Adams trade, and he said, look, you know, we're not in the business of trading good players, but at the time, based on where we were at with our program building, we felt like the best decision wasn't to pay him and give him that the kind of money he was looking for, but just to move on. And we had a team, Seattle, step up and give us an offer that we felt we could use to help drastically improve our team. So I get that he was honest with talking about those two personnel decisions, and you can appreciate that. But at the same time, it's about being able to have talent that your coach can use to win football games. And right now, the Jets don't have that talent, and the general manager is responsible for that. Now, you do like what he did with their first-round pick this past year and getting Becton, because he looks like he's going to be your tackle for the next dozen years. Quinnen Williams, you know, even though it's a McCagney pick, that's a young player that you like. Denzel Mims, now that he's on the field, feels like that was a guy that, you know, warranted a second-round pick from Joe Douglas. So, I mean, you look at those things and you say, okay, that's cool. But I guess the tone and the expectations that Joe Douglas set coming out of training camp is the part that everybody's kind of looking at him sideways, because how could you be so far off on your evaluation of the team where you would feel like it's disrespect to question how good y'all were going to be in 2020. That's the part that I can't get. I don't understand that to this day.
Yeah, but Chris, how much of that is him being sold a bill of goods by Adam Gase?
Yeah, but I mean, you still got to trust your eyes if you're a GM.
No, but if my head coach is telling me, I need this, this, and this, and I'll make it work. And then the fact that I thought the one, you could call it a maybe a swipe at Adam Gase, he did mention the fact that the teams do the exact same thing every single time and the offense is unable to adjust to it. If my head coach is supposed to be an offensive genius, I mean, come on.
But what he said with that, though, that was just so generic, man. He was talking about stunts and fronts and press coverage. Every team, every defense does that. Every defense does that. So it's not like it's something that's specific to a weakness that you have. I mean, it's just a matter of, okay, the talent that you have versus the scheme that your head coach is running. Sometimes the head coach has to adjust his scheme to the talent
that's what
he
I mean.
Has. As a
but
matter of fact,
saying.
that's how it should be.
But that, I would look at that as a shot at Adam Gase. Like, you call yourself this offensive genius, and the teams are doing the exact same thing every single time we play against them, and you have no adjustments to it.
Okay,
how's that possible? I don't care how much talent you have.
No, so
like, you should be able to adjust to that.
You might be right. That might be a shot at Adam Gase. But if that was the case, then I have even less respect for Joe Douglas. Why do you need to be passive aggressive? What's the point in that? That's not productive.
That's all he can be at the moment, unfortunately.
But like I said, I don't have respect for that. I didn't like how he handled everything yesterday in addressing the media. I still don't like it.
Well, I'm sure if it was up to Joe Douglas, he would rather not have to do a media tour.
I'm sure. You know what does bother me? I will say this, that Joe Douglas is doing the media tour.
And Adam Gase
does nothing. Nothing? How is that fair? How does that make any sense?
Well, it's not. I mean,
he does the post game. He tells you post game that it's a lack of execution.
I mean, do a legitimate interview. Come on the K show. Come on our show. Just talk to the pool reporters. Like, do an interview, for God's sake.
He might go on with the Premium Pirates.
That's a soft spot to land. No chance.
I think if we had him booked, then they would probably steal him from us.
Yeah, they would steal him.
Yeah.
Hack Sparrow.
that would undoubtedly happen. 800-919-3776.
I love you, Rico. I love you. I love you.
Has to say about
you're
the whole
a gift.
Thing at 10:30.
You're a gift.
Observations coming your way. You have a lot of observations today, I would think.
Quite a few knobs. Yeah. It's getting ugly in here.
It's hot, just
Yeah, hump day, knobs, you name it.
Yeah, lot to do. So Chris is going to tell us in a moment about Indeed, and then we're going to get to Andy from Merrick. Then we got a lot of your calls to go. We got Graziano. We got an observations.
We
got
to talk Daniel Jones. We have to talk Daniel Jones. Have to.
Don't you worry. We're going to talk Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones action.
Don got after Jordan yesterday, didn't he?
7-7-6.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a crazy bad question.
What?
Now, have you put any thought into maybe setting Daniel Jones for a game?
Who's been saying that to us for months?
Tannenbaum. Well, you're jeopardizing the message. My concern would be that. Listen, my concern would be that you're jeopardizing the message. And listen, sometimes they do this in the NHL all the time. I mean, David Quinn is known for doing this. And what do we always say? Give David Quinn credit. If the guy deserves to sit, he puts him up in the press box. The guys come back and they respond.
But here's what I would say.
But Dave, maybe it's in Daniel Jones' best interest.
Maybe it is. But here's
Rico,
take a step back.
Rico, you said that about Sam Darnold his rookie year. Remember when he had the Fugazi foot injury?
And exactly
It ended up being a good thing for the kid because he got a chance to take a step back, take a breath. But think about who the Jets had step in. That was Josh McCown.
No, listen.
And so this is a different scenario. Like, I just feel like watching Josh McCown work is a very different thing than watching Colt McCoy work, especially with the way that the Giants have been losing games, because every game has pretty much come down to the fourth quarter. Every game they play, save one, has been a fourth quarter game.
But no, he has 8 games to audition. And that's my point. If you told me if you told me right now he's your quarterback, Dave, I'd say, you know what, sit him. If he's going to be your quarterback, if 5 years, 8 years, 10 years down the road, I would say, you know what, I have no issue sitting him. But I don't know that. And just the opposite. I think that's completely up in the air. So not knowing, I need to see him as much as possible.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
not
my take on the thing.
Listen, in theory, I don't disagree with you. But the fact is, the biggest problem with Daniel Jones is turnovers. And it has not shown any signs of getting better. He has at least one turnover in 20 of his 21 appearances. It's not getting better. You can make the argument it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have kids.
That's fair.
If you want something to stop, if your kid's doing something that you don't like him doing, and you say, and you harp on it every single day, just like Jason Garrett is harping on it every single day, at a certain point, you have to take something away for him to realize, for it to click into his head.
You're right.
So maybe sitting him for a game, taking a step back, makes him realize, you know, this isn't just my job and I can do whatever the hell I want with it. I'm not saying Colt McCoy is a better option because he's not. You're probably going to lose the game. At this point, who cares? You'd want the higher draft pick anyway. But maybe that flicks a switch in his head. Because it feels like this is just getting worse.
Am I going to sit him now? The one team that the guys actually in this organization has actually had success against is Washington. Am I going to sit him now?
No, I'm not saying now. I never said now. But at a certain point, if you're Joe Judge, you can't keep standing up in front of the media and your team and saying everyone will be held accountable. And your quarterback keeps costing you games. That can't happen.
I got to tell you this, and then we'll get to the great Andy and Merrick. The Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today, 3:00.
I thought you were going to tell us about like you were in like a thruple or something. I got to tell you this quick.
I can't tell you stories like that.
Then you're gonna have a revelation.
No, I'm not gonna. All right. I'm not gonna get into that kind of stuff. It's more about the K. Show's 20 for 20. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but let me continue. The Michael K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance to win one of 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life just a little bit more enjoyable during this really uncomfortable time. Oh, today's a terrific one. Today
Sonos
the guys
today.
Are giving away. Are you ready for this, for today's giveaway?
Yeah, it's a Sonos.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I'm an avid listener. They talked about it yesterday.
Well, there you go. The guys are giving away a Sonos Move portable Wi-Fi speaker. You say, that's unbelievable. Who's it brought to you by? I'm glad you asked. PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, The Bartesian Premium Cocktails On Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. That's a giveaway, baby.
The waiters, I heard the waiters are actually dressed up as pirates at The Bartesian.
The waiters are dressed up as pirates?
Yeah, the Bartesian, at Bart's restaurant, the Bartesian.
No.
Can you pay attention?
That was a lot of steps. Come on.
It wasn't a lot of steps. How many times have I said Bartesian? Like, it sounds like Bart's restaurant.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
I'm just excited
about the Sonos. So, yeah, you're right. I should have been better. All right. Speaking of being better, a man that's in a great mood always, every day, bring him in, Andy in America. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. That Rocky lead-in music was perfect, because much like yesterday, I'm still in the city of brotherly love, and you would not believe the divisive split between those who like a Geno's cheesesteak and those who like Pat's. But nonetheless, it's a Wednesday, which means it's a hockey day. We got a 4 one-timers for you about those Philadelphia Flyers.
Ugh.
Oh, is right.
Ugh.
There have been 6 sweaters retired from the Philly Flyers. Name 3 of them.
Got to be Bobby Clark, right?
That's one.
Mark
Lindros?
Howe?
Lindros is 2.
Nah, Bill Barber.
Mark Howe has
3.
To be retired.
Mark Howe. Keep going, boys.
Is Barry Ashby retired?
Barry Ashby? Yes, sir.
Now you're hanging on the rim, Dave.
Yeah, he said keep going.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Lindros, Clark, Barber, Ashby, Howe, and Bernie Parent.
Oh, Bernie Parent.
Nice. All right, so Bobby Clark, the aforementioned, is the Flyers' all-time points leader. What Hall of Famer, and you just named him a few moments ago, ranks number 2?
This is in a
points
career.
Points leader, all-time for the organization. All-time.
I love how he says organization like a Canadian.
So it's got to be Bill Barber then.
It has to be Bill Barber. Bang. All right, this one is a 106-mile-an-hour slap shot. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Since 1967, the Flyers have only had 1 number 1 overall NHL draft pick. Who did they select number 1 overall in 1975?
Ooh.
It's more Dave's era.
Well, I
will tell
2.
You, he played 4 years with the Devils in the mid-80s.
They've only had 1 first overall pick, huh?
Well, that's
he got
it.
Lindros, but he wasn't theirs.
That's correct. Was not theirs.
You said 75?
1975.
75.
Come on, boys. Clock integrity.
I don't know.
I don't think I would know this one.
Yeah, I don't have the answer for you.
There's some troubled waters you'd be over.
Mel Bridgman?
Mel Bridgman is correct.
Nice, Dave.
Well, only because he gave me troubled waters.
Well, that's not that good of a hint.
And finally, his number 97 sweater is the highest in franchise history. He only played 23 of his 20 years in Philly. Name this Boston, Massachusetts-born center, not in the
Jeremy
Hall
Roenick.
Of Fame.
Yep. Jeremy Roenick.
Jeremy Roenick, former NBC analyst. Jeremy Roenick's correct. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Oh, terrific job. And then he hangs up for good measure. I'm done.
He didn't just hang up. That was like he was on a rotary phone and he just slammed it down.
Yeah. You remember those rotary phones where you'd like put your finger in it, turn it around, and
yes.
Like,
and then if God forbid you screwed up.
Oh.
You messed up the number,
especially
you start
if you screwed
over.
Up late in the number?
Oh, it's the worst. Oh.
Like if you had to get involved with an area code and then you were nine numbers deep and then you screwed up. Ugh. Terrible.
Thank God for technology. You're although I could kidding. Live without a phone. I would be very happy
oh,
without a phone.
It. No, you would not.
Don't even tell. 100%
so when you say without a phone, you're saying no Twitter, no scores, no weather, no text, none of that?
I don't need my phone, Tamil. I mean, I have a computer.
Okay, but you need the things that the phone provides for you. You're talking about actually talking on a phone.
Yes, I mean, like okay. A way for people to get in touch with me. I could live without.
Yes, I believe. All right, Rick, you're the Jets fan here. I'm going to let you choose how you'd like to go. You want to take a couple of Jets calls, or do you want to hear more from your general manager from the K Show yesterday right now?
I want to hear from Jets fans.
You want to hear from the fans?
I want to hear from the fans, yeah.
Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Dave in Manhattan. Dave, lead us off in the 10 o'clock hour right here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Dave. He's not there, I'm told, which is fine because we have many calls. Dan in Saratoga, you're next up on 98.7, Dan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Danny?
What's going on? This may be an unpopular opinion, but I think it's time for you guys to do the 3-7. Just saying. But that's neither here nor there. But basically, my question is this. I called last week, and I basically got laughed at because I think that the Jets are just as bad as the Knicks organizationally. And you guys didn't agree with me. But now I want to see if you maybe have a change of heart or because the Knicks I know have historically been bad, but at this point right now, standing today, I would trust the Knicks organization going forward more than the Jets. I mean, would you agree?
That's pathetic.
No, I
still don't agree.
We haven't. This could be the worst Jets. This could be the worst football team ever. The Knicks have bad basketball teams, but you can't say one of the teams is the worst ever.
You've hired somebody in Joe Douglas. His pedigree is you can't argue his pedigree.
The GM
of the Knicks is an agent.
I get it. But which organization do you trust going forward at this point today? The Knicks or the Jets?
The Jets.
Is there a neither?
If you had to pick one, though, thanks for the call, Dan.
I would say the Jets.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah.
I like the Knicks coach, though. I need to see who the next coach of the Jets is going to be. And if it's going to be Joe Douglas.
Well, the next coach of the Jets is no doubt going to be better than Adam Gase.
Oh, that's not even
It's only up from here. Get the head coach from Don Bosco. He's going to be better than Adam Gase.
But it's got to be legit. You can't just continue to do this where you go from one coach of this ilk to the next. It's got to be a legit coach.
It'll be a legit coach, Dave. They'll go through a legitimate coaching search, and Joe Douglas will be at the middle of it. He knows what a good head coach looks like, right? So I just feel like we have to go through this process. But again, I just feel like based on where the Jets are at right now, the lack of accountability is what's holding this organization back in terms of building the culture that you need in order to develop the talent that you get. Because right now, the draft picks, the guys that come in there from free agency, they're all hostages. They're not willing participants. They are. Think about it. The free agents that you get, you're paying top of the market prices. You paid C.J. Mosley $17 million a year. And guess what he did in year two of that deal after not playing barely in year one? He played, what, two games in year one? In year two, he's like, you know what? I'll opt out COVID concerns. I got the $10 million roster bonus in the spring. I'm good on playing for y'all in 2020. We'll see where y'all are at in 2021. Like, that's where they're at. Jamal Adams said, if you're not going to pay me, I want out.
Well, what's the allure to playing with the Jets?
Until you change the culture within that building,
right?
Nothing about it is going to change.
So unless you're going to grossly overpay someone like you did with C.J. Mosley, why are they going to sign with you?
They're not, Dave. That's why you got to get to the point where you actually build the infrastructure, you change the culture so you can develop the young talent that you draft, and then you can accent that with the free agents that you supplement the roster with. That's the only way. You got to change the perception of who the Jets are, because right now, everybody in football looks at the Jets as the worst team, even worse than that mess that's going on down in Dallas. Something about that has to change. Until that does, you're not going to get guys buying into your program.
Let's go to Dave in Manhattan. Dave, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks. This is actually a great segue because that was exactly what I was going to say, what Mr. Canty just said. You know, right now, I just think that players in the league are looking at the Jets, especially after the interview yesterday with the general manager. I mean, Mr. Canty, you tell me, as a player when you were in the NFL, I'm sure there had to be certain teams that you and your colleagues did not want to involve yourselves with. You might even go to your agent to say, you know what, any place but that place. Because that place is going to be a place where I'm not going to be able to win. There's no type of culture in place. And it's a situation where if I blow my knee out or crack my leg, I can end my career with a horrible team. I mean, you already stated it, but I was on the line. I appreciate the candor. I mean, what am I wrong in saying that? Or do you honestly can invite a high-paid free agent? Who would want to come there right now? I can't think of anyone who would want to come there.
Nobody does.
You're not wrong for saying that. And what happens is when you hear your general manager, Joe Douglas, go on TMKS or go on any media outlet and say that you think Adam Gase is a part of the solution. As a player, if you don't feel like Adam Gase provides you with a path to victory each week, when you hear your general manager say that, you become disenfranchised. Like at that point, it's like we don't have any hope. Like there's no change on the horizon. If we don't think we have a chance to go out there and be competitive based on the game plan that Adam Gase has given us, yet the general manager is coming out and saying that he thinks Adam Gase is a part of the solution, where do you go if you're a player? That was a question. It wasn't rhetorical.
I mean, you go in the tank is where you go. I mean, you don't give effort, and you get blown out in these games. I mean,
yeah. To your point, to what you said earlier, it's going to get worse. You just said that. You said it's going to get worse.
Get worse by winning the game on Monday night. That's how it could get worse.
They ain't going to beat the Patriots. There's 7-point dogs to the Patriots.
Right? They're not going to beat the Patriots.
You don't want them to win this game.
No.
Well, I don't think you got to worry about them winning this game. They're not even trying.
Apparently, Joe Douglas said it. All you have to do is play one defense, and they can't adjust to it. Or just do that, and they have no answers.
Just run a couple stunts up front and press the receivers, throw off the time, and it's a wrap.
That's all
you got to do.
That's all you got
to
do.
He just gave the game plan for opposing teams.
It's simple, really. All right, let's start to get some calls on the Giants, because I want to get into that, and I want to get into the fact that they were very quiet at the deadline yesterday. Let's go to Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Good morning, Ricardo. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Dempsey? Is Dempsey your full name, or is there any way we could extend it out a little bit there?
No, that's actually my last name. My first name is a little eccentric, and it's hard to pronounce.
Oh, you go last name.
Yeah.
No, now I'm interested. Now I need to know what the first name is.
Have we ever heard the first name before? You think it's something that we've
heard? It's funny you say you're an avid listener of the Michael Kay Show, Ricardo, but they actually had this same exact conversation and asked me my first name, too. Michael Kay actually got me to say it out. But my first name is actually Cullum.
Cullum? Hmm.
Yes.
Nice.
And you'll probably never guess how it's spelt either. It's only four letters on how it's spelt.
C-U-L-M.
C-O-L-M.
Calm.
It's an Irish name.
Nice.
Yeah, we know it's an Irish name, but I mean, come on. You get the... It's not Cullum, it's Calm. I mean, come on.
Calm. All right, listen, no reason to freak out. Let's
you're like the GM.
Calm.
You're like the GM down in Tampa. His last name is Licht. It's not.
No, but I've always gone by my last name ever since high school, though. So, and then I was in the military, so they all go by last names too.
All right, Dempsey,
I like the name. I like the name.
Yeah.
You think that he should go on the call screener with Cullum?
Yeah, I like Cullum. I would, for his sake.
And they always. The first couple of times back when I called when it was Han and Humpty, and back when I was calling when I was out in Hawaii, you remember Dempsey from Hawaii?
Yes.
I called a bunch of times and I tried to use my first name and they would never get it right over
the call
screener.
Well, why didn't you just say C-U? Being serious,
no, you just got to spell it.
C-U-L-L-U-M. Yeah, Rick, what would you say?
I would probably spell it incorrectly to get it said right. It's just I don't want to do that. That's just not I don't want to do that. That's
all right,
name.
I think you should make the switch today.
To make you say it right.
I think you should make the switch.
I like either.
Now we know it. Now we know it's Cullum.
Okay, now you know it. The next time I call, it's Cullum from the Bronx.
All right, Cullum. The floor is yours.
Okay, so I see the final eight games of the Giants. Obviously, I completely agree with you, Dave. You have to keep him into these eight games. This is his final audition, in my opinion. But if you take the quarterback out of the situation, I see this team, the coaching staff, the way they're playing. I see this team as it could go 4-4. Take the quarterback out of the situation, the way their schedule lines up. They have every ability to go 4-4, or they could very well go 0-8 and 1-7. It's on Daniel Jones to make that. If they go 4-4, that means that obviously the turnovers have had slowed down, and he's something we can move forward with. If we go 1-7, 0-8, obviously the turnovers haven't stopped, and we're going to be in the top one or two, three picks, and if Justin Fields is there, we have to move on. It's been enough time. We'd have to move on from them. And obviously obviously Dave Gettleman is going to be gone, and I think Nick Caserio from the Patriots, the player personnel, is going to be the new general manager from the Giants. That'll be the first time you heard that. But they got to move on from Daniel Jones. If they're in the top five picks, they got to move on. But I believe in Daniel Jones, and I think they're going to go 4-4 the rest of the way.
That'd be a good finish to the season.
If you're Daniel Jones, you don't want to give the Giants the opportunity to actually consider drafting a quarterback.
Well, then you won't be able to.
Well, they won't.
If you go 5-11, you're not going to be able to pick a quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only reason this is a conversation is because obviously the turnovers and it's costing you games. But more importantly, the more games you lose and the higher your draft pick and the fact that there's two quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
the more likely it is the Giants will be in position to get one of them. Yeah,
exactly right. Like I heard Don yesterday talking about Peyton Manning. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Peyton Manning, he turned the ball over way too much early in his career. But, I mean, in his second year, they won 13 games.
Exactly. That completely changed.
You know what I mean? Like he had his first year where he struggled. He had 26 and 28. They were 3-13. And in year two, he won 13 games. They were 13-3.
Yeah. This team is 1-7.
Yeah, but the reason this is a conversation is because you keep losing. This is what losing does.
Yeah, you're turning the ball over and you're losing games. And if you weren't doing one, you probably wouldn't get the other.
Listen, Mark Sanchez turned the ball over a hell of a lot. I think he's had 12 touchdowns to 20 interceptions his first year.
Oof.
But guess what? It didn't matter because the Jets were winning games. And everybody wanted to attribute that to Mark Sanchez being the difference maker. They named him the Sanchez. But, I mean, there wasn't this strong criticism of the quarterback because you were actually winning. So the turnovers weren't costing you opportunities to compete. Whereas when we look at the Giants, it's like, okay, you can point to all of the games this season, save one, and say that they were in all of those games and the turnovers that Daniel Jones made were costly. There's no other way to look at it.
Even the missed opportunities, too. I mean, the turnovers bunched with the fact that he missed some, especially in that Tampa game.
Oh, I mean, Slayton, the whole night was running wide open in the secondary, and he missed him every single time.
And here's the other thing. What makes it even worse is it's not like you're getting the turnovers with this elite production. Like, if you get an elite production, right, and you tend to turn the ball over, you can't live with that, but it's better than what you're seeing now.
If you were throwing for 340 yards and three touchdowns and two interceptions every game, you'd be like, okay, there's so much good to go along with some
even,
of the bad.
Elite production, though, I mean, over a lot, that's still a problem. I mean, look at Jameis Winston.
Exactly right.
Guy threw for 5,000 yards, and yet he's on the bench for somebody now.
And that team was 7-9. At least that team won seven games.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, this team is 1-7 and floundering.
So
and
That's elite production from the position, but because he turned the ball over so many times, Tampa couldn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bruce Arians couldn't fix it, so he said, nah, we can't do that. And you heard him. If we can win with this guy, like, he was done with it. And Joe Judge did not. Daniel Jones is not Joe Judge's guy.
No, he's not.
So he's going to be left with the decision. If this doesn't get better, he's going to have to make a decision.
This is a big
game. I think you'll
be
as loyal as your options, like you mentioned before, Rico. So if you have the opportunity to be at the top of the draft, say you have top two, top three pick, then it's on the board for them to take a quarterback. If you don't, then that means that Daniel Jones would have won enough games. So it puts you somewhere where you're probably not in position to get one of those top quarterbacks, but that also pushes you toward going into 2021 with Daniel Jones as the incumbent. Not to say that they wouldn't bring in a quarterback to compete with him, but he would probably be QB1 on the depth chart at the start of training camp.
If you don't wind up with the first, second, I think it's got to be one of those two. I think Daniel Jones is going to wind up being your quarterback to start next season.
Yeah, but that's on. I mean, it's on Daniel Jones to stop the turnovers and to start winning some football games. Because if he doesn't, it's not fair to the rest of the team.
There is no after the Washington football team. There is no layup game for them the rest of the way. There is no layup game because I mean they've got Philadelphia at home though. So you'll see how that goes
they never
before the bye week.
Philly's playing for a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But then you're on the road to Cincinnati, that just beat the Titans.
Yep.
You're on the road in Seattle, probably not going to
win
that
one. That game.
Home against Arizona. Home against Cleveland, who should be playing for the postseason. On the road in Baltimore, and then home against Dallas. So, I mean, if you're Daniel Jones, you better win this one. You better win this one.
You could beat Dallas, too. Dallas,
you know, and that's what'll happen.
I'm just saying, Rico, if you're Daniel Jones, you better win this one.
That's what'll happen. The Giants will be 1-14, and if they beat Dallas, they'll wind up with the fourth pick, and if they lose to Dallas, they'll get the second pick, and then and then everybody will be all excited. Great game.
Dave, if they're 1-14 going into that game, then I'm going to employ Rico's strategy. We're going to bench Daniel Jones and start Colt McCoy.
I'd be fine with that.
We're going to bench
Bring
DJ
back Kyle Lallett and start him in that game.
Colt McCoy is going to be the starter.
So help me, if the Giants are a loss away from getting the franchise quarterback of the future and they win that game and I have to hear about it, well, he threw for five touchdowns and he was so good and then carry over and the momentum, I'm going to go crazy.
Not going to have him.
Absolutely crazy.
One of the sneaky
carry over. I mean, we got a huge win against Washington. What a win.
One of the sneaky funny things you've said so far today.
Sneaky funny, baby.
Then Don will be all excited.
Don will be. Last year, he was going with 5 touchdowns. I mean, that carries over. It carries over to 1-7 this year is where it's carrying.
You know, you honestly know what, at the end of it, what the biggest problem is that, and I think the reason why we're so focused on what's going on with Daniel Jones is this isn't something that just popped up out of nowhere. This isn't like all of a sudden like he's got a case of the turnover bug and he's going to fix it. This is a problem. This is who he is.
This has been a problem for his entire career.
Yeah, it was a problem for Jameis Winston at Florida State that he never could fix. Like, this is becoming who he is.
Yes. He's a turnover-prone quarterback at the collegiate level, at the NFL level. It is a major problem. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to Dan Graziano and his Wednesday hit at 10:30. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you today?
We are doing well. Lot of NFL trade deadline yesterday, so let's get right into it. I wanted to ask you about the Giants specifically, but let me incorporate the Jets into this as well. Surprised that there was no activity at the deadline from the Giants specifically, but the Jets as well?
Not surprised at the lack of activity overall. Jets did trade 3 guys. They just didn't trade any of them yesterday, so they were kind of active. You know, we had heard the Giants were trying to unload Kevin Zeitler's contract, maybe Golden Tate's, but, you know, it takes 2 to tango, and there wasn't a lot of interest in tangoing this year for a variety of reasons. Teams didn't want to take on big contracts. They're concerned about being able to roll over salary cap space into next year when the cap's expected to go down, so that's a big part of it, and I think that's a big reason you didn't see a lot of activity.
Dan, there was one team I was surprised that didn't make a move, and that was Green Bay, and it didn't have to be Wolf Fuller. Yeah. I mean, especially on the defensive side of the ball, were you surprised that Green Bay didn't make any moves at all?
No, because, I mean, the Packers operate in their own way, and it's draft and develop. Like, if you could get Will Fuller or some kind of helpful linebacker or defensive tackle for a late-round draft pick, then maybe. But, you know, the Texans weren't giving their receivers away. They wanted good value for them, and the Packers value their draft picks very, very highly. So, no, I knew they were looking around and they were looking for ways to augment the team, but I never felt like, oh, the Packers are likely to make a move, because it would frankly have been out of character for them. That's just not the way they operate. They're always about the big picture, the long view, and building through the draft.
Dan, yesterday our very own Chris Mortensen reported that the competition committee was set to propose a 16-team playoff if a Week 18 wasn't enough to be able to make up all the potential cancellations due to COVID. Can you tell us how that's being received in NFL circles?
Yeah, I think there's a thought that everything has to be on the table. One of the reasons they have not wanted to put a Week 18 in is because they worry that the teams who have the playoff buys would go too long without playing, right? So let's say you have the 1 seed, you have the bye, you don't have a Week 18 game because you didn't have any games rescheduled. Now you have that week off. You have the following week off. It's going to be 3 weeks between games before you start the playoffs. So they didn't want to do that. This fixes that because now nobody has a bye. So I just think the way these potential solutions to these potential problems are all being received the same way, which is, I think everybody's just saying, look, whatever it takes to get through this season, we have to be aware of the possibility that it's going to be weird and unprecedented and possibly even unfair, and I think that's just sort of the mindset right now of anybody who's been paying any attention within the league.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we watched the Giants on Monday night. I thought they played really well, to be honest with you, and I thought that if Daniel Jones would have played a better game, that's a game that they absolutely would have won. So, I mean, we're halfway through his second season now. What's your take? I mean, is this an audition for the second half of the season? Do you look at this and say he's locked in and he's going to be their quarterback of the future? What are you hearing from NFL circles about whether he's going to be their quarterback of the future right now?
Well, I think that their goal, and I think we've been saying this since August, is they have to get through the season and be able to have some idea what they have there, right? If he's your franchise quarterback of the future, you want to feel pretty confident about that at the end of this season. So you do want to see a reduction in the turnovers. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's just, there's just too much. And yeah, I recognize, and talking to the coaching staff, I mean, like, they like his aggressiveness. They like that he feels like he can make any throw at any time. But they have to iron out some of it and get him to the point where he realizes he doesn't have to make any throw at any time. And that's something that he's struggling with and that they're struggling with. But they like him. They're optimistic about him. You know, the level of certainty you have about him as your long-term answer, I think that remains one of their goals for this season, is to see enough over the course of 16 games to convince you that you have the guy. And if you don't, then you might have to make some tough decisions next year in the draft and in the offseason.
Dan Graziano joins us here in the show. Speaking of the guy, you know, Tua gets a win in his first start. He wasn't a huge reason why they won. Yeah, I mean, defense and special teams were great. But, I mean, Schefter's report that the reason they put him in is because they're going to have Houston's first-round pick, and that could be a very high pick. Is there really a chance that Miami would consider drafting another quarterback this year?
Yeah, to Schefter's report, I think the reports have one of the considerations, right?
Yeah.
So that's not the reason they did it, but it's a factor in the decision. And I think it's interesting because you have a quarterback prospect in Trevor Lawrence that everybody's lost their minds over about, you know, how great he's going to be, what a can't-miss guy he is. You have the Miami Dolphins, you have Houston's draft pick. They continue to lose. If Houston ends up in that one spot and by default Miami ends up having the one pick, you got to think about it if this guy Lawrence is everything everybody says he is. You have to understand what the value of that pick is if you want to draft him or if you want to trade him. And part of that calculation is going to be, you know, how do we feel about the guy we took last year? I think it's a big picture view from a smart organization that's saying, look, we're not saying we don't believe in Tua. What we're saying is let's get us some evidence to help us make whatever decision it is that's in front of us if the time comes. And if the Houston Texans finish, you know, go 4-4 the rest of the way, it probably doesn't matter. But if the Houston Texans end up 1-15 and get that pick, and now you as Miami have to decide what to do with it, you want as much information as possible. So I kind of like the idea of it. I know that they wouldn't have done it if they didn't think he was ready, if he didn't think that he gave them a chance to win games right now. They're very concerned. They don't want to lose the locker room. They know how the players feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick, et cetera. So I think that's just kind of one more bit of a factor in the overall decision by a team that's thinking very big picture.
Dan, yesterday Joe Douglas talked to various media outlets and again sidestepped the question of whether or not Adam Gase is to blame for this mess. Why won't anybody in the Jets organization criticize Adam Gase?
Well, if they're going to make a change at head coach, it's going to be an ownership decision, not a Joe Douglas decision. So he's in a bad spot there. What's he going to say, right? Yeah, I sure hope the owner.
How about everybody else? Needs to be good at their job.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, I don't know, probably understood. But I think, you know, he's in a situation where he's kind of probably walk a fine line, because if he knows something, if he knows that they're getting rid of the coach and they're planning to do that, then he doesn't want to let on. And if he doesn't, but he's unsure, he certainly doesn't want to speak for ownership. And so until you hear from ownership on it, and I guess we have, right? Hasn't Christopher Johnson talked once or twice and said some things about Adam Gase, about him sticking around through the season? You know, I think Joe Douglas is sort of staying in his lane there, right? In terms of calling for accountability, et cetera, why is anybody criticizing? You know, I'd flip that around and say, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about anonymous Cowboys players criticizing the coaching staff, and that was a bad thing. So, like, how do you want it, right? Like, is it okay?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's the same thing, Dan. I'm just talking about people at the top of the organization, the general manager and the owner. Usually, when teams struggle like this, you know, they come out and they say everybody needs to be better at doing their job. Obviously, we're halfway through the season and we don't have a win. It just seems a little weird to me that the players will accept blame and accountability. The general manager will do that. But nobody seems to think that it's weird that Adam Gase hasn't done that, nor has anybody else said that the head coach, in addition to everyone else, should be better. I just think that's strange.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's a weird situation there, and I think everybody feels like we know what's going to end up happening, but it hasn't, and it may not until the off season, and, you know, that creates an uncomfortable situation that can be a little difficult to parse. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you your opinion on it is wrong. I think it sounds like you've
you've thought it through, and you may be even convincing me.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You kind of touched on the question I wanted to ask you, Dan, and that is he going to make the season? I mean, there's real discussion that this is the worst team we've ever seen play football, right, through half a season and what the second half could potentially
be. They're not
good. They're terrible. Yeah. Is Adam Gase in some unbelievable scenario going to make it through the entirety of the season?
If I were betting on it, I'd still probably say no, but I don't. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. Like, if you fire a coach in season, you have to figure out why you're doing it. Is it to give someone else on the staff a look as a potential replacement? I don't think that's in play here. So, is it because you don't like the guy? It doesn't seem like they dislike him personally or anything. Like, he hasn't done anything to embarrass the organization off the field, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, some teams have enough and fire the guy. Houston did it. Atlanta did it. Jets haven't done it. So, I mean, unless I can get into the head of Woody and Christopher Johnson to talk about why they haven't done it yet, I mean, it would make sense to you and me. But the teams about these decisions, what you hear is, well, how would it benefit us to make a move like that right now? And if the answer is we don't think it would, then you kind of don't.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, last one for me. In your mind, after what you saw from Pittsburgh against Baltimore, who do you think the best team in the AFC is right now?
Chiefs. I mean, like, they have a loss. Pittsburgh doesn't have a loss. I get all that, but I just think the Chiefs are a cruise control operation right now that kind of knows it's going to win pretty much every time and is waiting to just try and position itself for January. Now, get to the end of the season, and Pittsburgh has the one seed, and Kansas City has the two, and it is a seven-team AFC playoff field. Obviously, the advantage then switches to Pittsburgh because they would have the bye. But in terms of the roster, in terms of the quarterback, in terms of everything you're looking for, I still have the edge for the defending champs.
All right. Dan, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you 1 week from today at this very same time.
I wish I could offer more clarity on the Jets, but maybe there just isn't any.
Yeah, it's possible. As you get information, you will feed it to us.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, good stuff. That, of course, is Dan Graziano. Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize the voice. You call, you say who that was, and you win big prizes. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes. Over 20 days to make your home life just a little bit more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Sonos Move Portable Wi-Fi speaker. It's awesome. It's the 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. You want to make a funny quip about the Bartesian
No.
now? I'm ready.
No, I'm past that. You ruined the last one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hope you can forgive me.
I had a terrific trick-or-treat joke, too, and that completely fell flat.
You had a trick-or-treat joke?
Yeah, I dressed up as 2020. I was throwing poop around. You just completely...
Well, what? I appreciate it. But what did you want?
A giggle. What did
you
I want? I
mean,
if you're doing a stand-up comedy routine and you tell a joke and no one laughs...
I don't think we didn't laugh.
That's
I think we appreciate it for what it was, and we moved on.
Now you dudded me.
I don't think that's fair.
You're breaking my spirit.
I think we're a very good audience for you, to be honest.
I feel like the Sam Darnold of joke telling right
There's
now.
A lot of laughter that goes on.
I'm afraid to even pull the trigger on a joke.
See, there
now.
You go. Look at him. He's laughing.
I'm hesitating.
You get a lot of laughter from us. All right. Speaking of laughter and hijinks, let's go, Santy. It's time.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Snob Observation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day edition of Snob Observations. As we love to do and start in observations with a quick look at the weather with Dave Roth.
The weather outside is weather.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm sure a lot of people are bleary-eyed today over the election that went late into the night and continues along today. But the weather is it's wonderful. I mean, you get outside for a walk. We're going to get highs of low 60s, all sun today, not too chilly. You could even go with the sweatshirt up top, shorts on the bottom. It's the advantage you have of a nice sunny day. The thing that stinks, and it pains me to say this, sunset today, Rick, 4:46. But the weather today, lovely.
That used to be one of the most depressing parts of this time of year when you're playing is that you'd come home, I'd eat my pregame meal, take a nap, and wake up. And by the time I'm driving to the rink, it's already dark outside.
That's terrible.
That's the worst.
It's terrible.
So
you ever
depressing.
Take a nap and wake up and think it's the next day and you've
yes.
missed the entire... That's scary, right?
More than one time.
All right, I don't want to stand in your way. Go.
Let me ask you a question. Have you been, like, how was your sleep at night? I know, I mean, you share, like, the waking up to pee, like, two or three times a night.
What do you mean, how's my sleep at night?
Have you been sleeping good at night?
I didn't last night.
No, I don't think anyone slept good last
night.
No.
Yeah, overall, luckily
it'll go for the next couple nights, too, because apparently this is going to take the
week. No, this is going to take days. Hopefully by Friday we have some kind of an answer. No, I mean, I sleep fine. At least once a night I wake up to go to the bathroom, which stinks.
Which is the worst.
That's what happens.
The reason I bring it up is because I'm taking this new supplement. My buddy sent over the supplement, like this all-natural supplement, and I took it the last two nights. And
you didn't pee?
Not only did I not pee, but I actually got like legitimate sleep. I didn't wake up groggy at all.
Really?
Mm.
I don't want to jinx it, but it's been
those
two
things
nights.
Scare me because then I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be purple and I'm terrified of that kind of stuff.
Why would you be? What is? Are you going to the chocolate factory?
You never see
like
ER
to Barney.
You never see the ER. These hospital shows. What were you taking? I was just taking a supplement and like.
Oh yeah,
purple.
Cassie.
Like,
that happened to Cassie.
I'm scared of stuff like that.
Like if she's allergic, if you're allergic to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's allergic to sulfur. You're right. She turned like all purple splotches all over. Which I kind of think is like a fetish thing.
All right, I don't want you to say that you don't have time for an observation. So please.
I got plenty of time.
Please.
You set me up perfectly.
Nobservate.
All right, let's nobservate. Let's start with, did this happen? This is topical, too, because of the election. Did this happen in Florida?
I'll just say yes, I give up.
Police are investigating an allegation that people tried to vote illegally on Thursday. How did they try to do this? Well, they tried to vote twice. And in order to do this, they decided that they were going to fool everybody by leaving and then coming back with their heads shaved. Incident took place around 2 p.m. when the group of would-be voters entered an early voting site. And luckily, in disguise, because they just shaved their heads, a person at the polling place recognized them as having voted there previously and confronted them. Group ran out and got away in two vehicles. Person followed them. Recorded the license plate and called 911. Investigators are tracking down the vehicle and seeking surveillance video of the would-be voters.
Now, my theme has been everywhere is Florida, Chris.
Yes.
So it sounds Floridian, but I'm gonna surprise you. I'm gonna say not Florida.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on this one. Everywhere is Florida right now. The world is upside down. It's 2020. So I'm going not Florida as well.
Santi, Florida or not Florida?
Hey, I'll chase the rest of these people and say not Florida.
Not Florida. You guys are correct. This is actually New York.
Oh, come on.
So much worse.
This is New York.
Are you kidding me?
They tried to vote illegally in the Bronx on Thursday.
And now they have to go through life with a shaved head.
Right?
Shaving their heads to change their appearance.
Couldn't even get the second vote.
Oh, my God. They're going to have to call up Ravi, see if they can get some help.
Bad.
That's probably offsides what I just said there. But
yeah, we move past those.
Speaking of Dave's Giants... The mess that is your Giants. Not only is Daniel Jones turning the ball over, apparently he's not getting Golden Tate the ball enough. Did you see
that.
What Golden? Did you see what Golden?
Oh yeah,
Tate
his old lady. Yeah, his old lady.
She's very unhappy.
Yeah, she's very unhappy. This is on her verified Instagram account. Says that her husband is so underutilized by the Giants. Was open the entire game. He needs to be fed the ball, and she's to say frustrated is a complete understatement. She also goes on to say that he's always been a team player and would never say this. But I can't watch such a playmaker be underutilized. How do you feel about that?
That stuff infuriates me. You know what
Golden
she just got off the phone with, by the way,
Common
Giselle.
Warrior.
this is why I call him Golden Tate, because he tends to be, you know, more towards you know what I'm talking about.
Awful.
He could be either one.
So bothered by her doing that. Does she think that they're not getting him the ball intentionally?
She says she's lit. She said, 11 years in the NFL, I've never said something like this online, but it's excruciating to watch, and it's killing his stats this year. But you can't have yards
stats.
On a few to no targets.
Well, he's been in the league 11 years. That's long enough for her to know better than to come out and say something like this. Like, that doesn't help anything. This doesn't help your husband's career.
No, this hurts it.
Yeah.
This only hurts it.
Yeah, if it hurts his career, it hurts his bottom line.
And you saw him.
Pretty
saw him,
sure she's not going to like that either.
No, after he has that awesome catch too, before the 2-point conversion, the touchdown catch. throw me the ball. That's not. I mean, that's not what.
Yeah,
you
that's no. not. Yeah,
completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and you appropriately put her into observations.
Of course,
yeah. She needed to go there. Yes.
Did you guys see this in the Oklahoma State Texas game to distract the field goal kicker?
No.
So late in the second quarter, Texas is on the road at Oklahoma State. They bring out their field goal kicker, and then what Oklahoma State does, and if you got to watch the video, on the big screen on the Jumbotron, they put up a bunch of yellow lines, so it looks like the field goal posts
are moving.
No, it's straight up. So it's like,
but it looks like they're different than where they should be.
It's a line. It's a complete line of yellow lines spread out. And it's hard to even identify where the goalpost is.
Oh, I like terrible. It. That's creative. I like it.
Ends up making the kick, but if you look at the picture, it's like I don't know how the kid did, because it looks like a bunch of goalposts.
It's like crazy. Rocky, which I see three of them. Hit the one in the middle.
Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think you got to be done. I think that's it.
Have to be done. Yeah, we're way too late. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want. But a wonderful job by you. A sensational, as always, observation.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.